Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we are in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I think what we're going to begin, we've read several of these parables already. And we just had the parable of the tares and the wheat. And then verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, mustard, years ago, people, because of this parable, they were hearing little necklaces with a mustard seed in them and so forth. And what we need to realize is that this is a parable. And a parable is an earthly story that tells that has more than one meaning. We can understand it in the natural, and then we take that which we see in the natural and convert it over to a spiritual lesson. So, in Israel at that point in time, of the crops that they were raising, mustard was the least of the seeds. I mean, mustard's pretty good size compared to a whole lot of seeds, and people get all shook up about that and say, well, it's not the smallest seed. No, in Israel at that time, of the crops that they were raising, it was the smallest, okay? So, what does it teach us? Well, that grain of mustard speaks of faith. You know, the just shall live how?
By faith.
But what happens within the canopy of Christianity when the faith gets perverted by the lie and grows into a great superstructure? And we see that in the largest churches in the world. Roman Catholic Church, the thing down in Houston, all over the world, we have people, they're no longer preaching the saving grace of Jesus Christ. What they're preaching is self-esteem. Yeah. And I don't know what man has to be lifted up in pride and self-esteem about, because the scripture says there's not a just man upon the earth that what? That doeth good instead of not. There's none righteous. How many?
Not even one.
So when we put that in context, man has fallen into operating in the lie of the devil. And every religious system in the world operates on the basis of the lie of the devil. And that lie says you can be like God by what you do. Can you? No. Christ had to become a man through the virgin birth so that he could be both God and man. He had to be related to us in order to redeem us. So, people want to minimize and doubt the virgin birth of Christ. The virgin birth of Christ is absolutely necessary for him to be a man without a sin nature. If he were born naturally, if Joseph were in fact his father, as the Jews thought, and they thought that Mary had committed adultery, that she was pregnant out of wedlock. In Judaism, you're engaged for an entire year prior to your marriage. And if you end up pregnant during that period of time, you're engaged to be married, but the marriage is not consummated till, or the sexual relationship is not consummated till the day of the marriage or the marriage evening. Okay. So pregnancy during that period of time says somebody wasn't observing the rules. Okay? So it was during that period of time that Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And that's important. she was a virgin. And then the Roman Catholic Church, the idiocy that is taught under the canopy of Christianity and the very religions of the world is pretty incredible. Jesus had at least 3-4 brothers and sisters. It would have been a mockery of marriage for Mary not to have any children by Joseph. And the interesting thing about it, his brethren, they grew up with him. They didn't believe on him till after he was crucified. So when people are trying to say, well, people will observe your life and want to be like you. What absolute nonsense. Jesus is God. His brothers and sisters, they didn't have a thing to do with him, spiritually speaking, until he was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. And so all of this nonsense that we get by religious practices and tradition and all of this kind of stuff. Think about tradition. We just had quote unquote Easter. There's no biblical holiday called Easter. Easter is a pagan holiday to the goddess of spring, the goddess of fertility. And so people, in her Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, all that type of thing. This type of thing. Well, if you're going to have Easter Sunday and you're going to have Palm Sunday, it can't be, because according to tradition, Jesus was crucified on Friday, placed in the tomb at the beginning of Saturday, and yet he said he'd be in the grave for, the same length of time that Jonah was in the belly of the great fish. As Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, it's translated whale, but it's great fish. So shall the Son of Man be what? 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. A Friday crucifixion. So Jesus bowed his head at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and dismissed his spirit. So from 3 to sunset, they're calling that, that's a day. And then from sunset to sunrise, that's a night. And then they get one more in there. They get another day. But then we're already to Sunday. And the night precedes the day in Judaism. And the women came to the tomb when? While it was yet dark. The sun hadn't risen on the first day of the week. So there's no way that you can get 3 days and 3 nights between Friday and Sunday before dawn. Then if he was crucified on Friday, then that meant that the Passover began at Saturday, which would be Friday night, Saturday night. Each day had a beginning and ending night. So if that night was Passover, as the scriptures demand, then that was the 15th day of the month. So you come back to the day, now you're on the 14th day of the month. You count back, and you have to have a Palm Monday rather than a Palm Sunday. It just doesn't figure out. But if you study to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, you go over to the Gospel of John, and you find out that Jesus came from the area of Ephraim, but you don't find that out in John's Gospel, you find that out in the other Gospel. He came from Ephraim to Jericho, and from Jericho to Bethany 6 days before the Passover. Now, John doesn't change it, because John used time like we use. The Roman day begins and ends at midnight. John used that kind of time. All of the other writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, used Jewish time, which the day begins and ends at sunset. Now, these details are so very, very important. And by not observing the details and injecting, man's traditions, every tradition under the canopy of Christianity, Easter tradition, Christmas tradition, denies what the Word of God says about the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Okay. In order to be our sacrifice, he had to be put to death on the 14th day of the month of Abib. That's when the Passover lamb was put to death. Okay? And then he had to be, placed in the tomb, which he was, which would be like, when you eat a lamb, you bury it. Okay? So that would be on the 15th day of the month. That's the night. So Christ was actually, if we just get away from all of the tradition and take scripture for what it says, that Christ rose on the first day of the week. When did it begin? At sunset, Saturday night, which was the beginning sunset of Sunday, and Christ rose from the dead then. Okay? Now you count back, and you find that Jesus came from Ephraim to Jericho, then Jericho to Jerusalem on 6 days before Passover, which would be the ninth of the month. But John is using Roman time, so he does make a distinction once they get to Bethany. But at sunset, if it were in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, now suddenly we're what? On the next day, or the 10th day of the month. When was Jesus anointed for burial by Mary? That evening. So that meal and that anointing, he was being anointed for death. He was being selected as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Yeah. Now, I've taught this before. It comes to mind just because of man and his tradition. But let's begin reading now another parable in verse 31. Put he forth unto them, saying in verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed. Mustard is a small seed, And the kingdom of heaven is like that compared to the religions of the world. Biblical Judaism, biblical Christianity were probably the smallest in their eras. Okay? So that's why we're comparing it to this mustard seed. All right. So, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. So what's going to happen as we come down to the end of the age? We're going to have apostasy. And the church is going to grow into a massive organization. And we see it in the Roman church, and we see it in the various touchy-feely churches. You preach the truth, I guarantee you, you're not going to get very big unless you happen to be in the past in the South. You could build a big church in the South because people went to church just out of habit. In the North, wasn't so. And of course, when I was first saved, I was saved when I was home on leave, and then went back to Spokane, Washington. Washington and Oregon at that point in time had the lowest per capita attendance in churches in the entire United States. And of course, now once we've added Alaska and Hawaii, it might be a push. But, too much to do. People run hither, thither, and yon. All right. So he says another parable spake he unto them in verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Well, leaven in scripture speaks of sin. And it says, this is how the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven. which a woman took. Now, modern day feminism aside, the scripture says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. Why? Because the woman was in the transgression. So we have churches all over the country now that have female pastors. They want to be pastor, fine. But they're out of place, biblically speaking. You know, Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. That's why God says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Has nothing to do with women's rights. It has nothing to do with the intelligence of women. It has to do with a choice that God made. Yeah. So, when I see the things that are being advertised on TV today and the people advertising them, virtually in any ad where a family is present, in modern advertisements on TV, it will always be a mixed family. Now, I've got nothing against any of the races of the world. We're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to them that they might be saved. Now, we know that Moses also had an Egyptian wife. Now, so there's a cross barrier marriage here. Man is who he is. If he falls in love with somebody, okay. Yeah. But today, we're pushing the idea. So we have usually quite an attractive woman, and then the man will be kind of an average-looking black man. You know, nothing special to look at. Yeah. And then you have children of varying degrees of color. Yeah. And it's becoming common. Racism aside, you know, what does the birds of the other, of the
birds of a feather.
The birds of a feather do what?
Flock together.
You never see robins going after blue jays. No. Each maintains its own kind. That's the natural order. Has nothing to do with prejudice. But they've made it about prejudice. Yeah. And again, you know, I mean, over time, there's been some marriages in which you have a mixed, and sometimes they produce very handsome men and very handsome or beautiful women. You know, that's got nothing to do with it. It's just that we generally kind of stick to our own kind. That's not prejudice. Doesn't say that I'm smarter than anybody else. You know, sometimes when I look at the history of some of my ancestors, I wonder just how smart they were. Yeah, but you know, it's just we've got to break down the barriers, because if we break down the barriers, when the Antichrist comes. Do you suppose that Arabs today would receive a Jewish Messiah? But when the Antichrist comes, that's who the world is going to think he is. The Antichrist is going to be Judas Iscariot. He fits the picture. You know, he died. You know, he's presently in hell. But the Antichrist is going to come back and reign upon the earth, and he's going to convince the Jews that the counterfeit Christ is actually Christ, and two-thirds of the nation of Israel is going to go after him. Only one-third is going to believe. And and the whole world is going to go after him. Yeah. So we're going to have a one-world religious system under the Antichrist. That's what the world's looking for. We got to all be the same. Why did God introduce the races in the first place? He confounded man's language at Babel. Why? Because God gave a command to multiply and spread abroad upon the face of the earth. Okay? That's what God said. But what was man? You know, they were building a tower. And you read in Josephus and so forth, they were attempting to build a tower so high that God wouldn't be able to destroy the world with a flood again. Well, they couldn't build one that high. You're going to build a tower higher than the highest mountains? And the whole earth was covered with water. You know, they tried to make it out to be a local flood. Then why do we find seashells at 7,000 feet in Colorado, in the Rockies? You know? And we do. You know? And we actually find man's footprints next to dinosaurs' footprints, you know, in the Rockies. You know, you know, some of these things, they confound us. But what is it? This is God's word. God can't lie. There are things in it that the world doesn't want it that way. Jesus said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, well, yeah, everybody has his own religion, and there are many gods, and blah. You know, that's the bluster. But the bluster is false. And if you want to go to hell, then just keep on thinking according to the way that the world thinks. And you won't have to do a thing. I guarantee you, you've got a ticket. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, you have eternal life and you'll never perish. You know, most of the religions or the denomination under the canopy of Christianity deny the security of the believer. They want to make it dependent upon you to maintain your salvation. Well, if Adam and Eve created in the image of God, Eve was deceived. And as a sinless being, she was deceived. Now we're all born how? Dead in trespasses and sin. So is it, you think it's even possible for man to operate in the truth apart from the preaching of the Word of God and the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God? No, it's not possible. So when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father but by me. So he put forth another parable. Women, in the context in which we have here, and this has nothing to do with women and women's rights. You know, I've known some very, very, intelligent, sharp, you know, mechanically, electrically, in any field. I've run across women that can cause a little shade to fall on men. It doesn't make any difference what your sex is. It depends upon you and the equipment God's given you and how much you're willing to use it. Yeah. You can be one of the smartest people in the world, but if you never take anything in, you can't put anything out. Okay. So this woman took three measures of meal. And another parable spake he, unto them the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. So we have three measures of meal. The meal in the parable of the sower, the wheat represents believers. Now, it's a woman out of place. I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. So it's a woman out of place that is putting leaven, and leaven is never used in the good ethical sense in Scripture. You know, putting leaven where? In the meal. The meal represents believers. So those who have the truth are being corrupted by women, which are out of place, you know, in this situation, because God said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor do you serve authority over the man. That doesn't mean that, you know, women are dumber than men or anything of the sort. It means Eve was deceived and Adam was not deceived, and God made this, the distinction. So if you want to argue about it, argue with God. Okay? All right, so all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Why? Because the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. So if we put things, you know, natural truth or spiritual truth in a natural setting, and you have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, then you as a believer, you know, through the preaching of the Word of God or the teaching of the Word of God, you can receive the truth. But the natural man doesn't have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. So you can't, people that are saved no matter, or unsaved, no matter how intelligent they are, cannot understand the things of God in and of themselves. It's an impossibility. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. So again, that doesn't make any difference whether you're Einstein, and we go through history and some of the great minds in mathematics, in science, in history, in all kinds of fields, were infidels. They were intelligent in natural things, but ignorant in spiritual things. And they didn't, you know, because of their intelligence in the natural realm and being patted on the back and praised for their great understanding, they didn't figure they needed a Savior. And we see that today. And in fact, in most colleges today, in fact, when we finally got into DNA in the scientific world, men who had a long time denied the existence of God suddenly began to realize the DNA code is so complex, it has to have an intelligent mind behind it. Okay? So it demands the existence of God. So many of the scientists began to move in that direction. But then in this country, and I don't know about the other countries of the world, but in this country, they said, if you're going to get federal money, you have to teach evolution. In other words, they claim to be scientific, and true science says we have to have an intelligent beginning, but politics, you know, I like the way Brother Stewart defined politics. Poly means what? Many. It means many. And what's a tick?
Bloodsucker.
A bloodsucker. Yep. And boy, they're sucking us dry. We've got inflation going out the gum stump. But we had an honest election. Before we even started counting votes, in the morning Joe had won. And at midnight, he was behind. I don't know how that works. And nobody wants, you know, a lot of people have asked the question, but we can't touch it. You know, Joe's the president. It's hard to refer to Joe Biden as, the president of the United States, but he is, you know. And the powers that be are what?
Ordained of God.
He fits right in to the next step. Prophetically speaking, this world, you know, this country has long been noted for religious freedom and for more liberty, and the possibility to earn more than any other nation in the world. But we have to be ready to receive the Antichrist. Now, we as believers won't be here, so there won't be one voice, one sane voice with respect to who the Antichrist is once the rapture takes place. And it will be easily explained away, because when he comes, I believe he'll be Judas Iscariot, and he's going to be extremely intelligent, know all about the public ministry of our Lord. You know? And so the whole world is going to worship him as God. They want a one-world religious system. They're going to get a one-world religious system. And when they get it, then unless at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation period, you know, first 3.5 years are going to go pretty easy. But after that, God is going to begin to judge, because the Antichrist is going to set up an idol of himself in the temple, which will be rebuilt on the Temple Mount. And once that takes place, I lost my thought. Anyway, the Antichrist is going to demand that everyone worship him as God. And that's when the Jews will flee Jerusalem. But when we read about it in Scripture, how many are going to flee? 2/3 are going to remain. Only 1/3 are going to flee into the wilderness, where God's going to preserve them, where he preserved them during their sojourn there for 40 years. Yeah. So we don't know exactly where they're going to be, yeah, but God's going to hide them in the wilderness from the Antichrist. Yeah. And otherwise, they would have to take the mark of the beast. And if they took the mark of the beast in order to preserve life, then they would seal their eternal damnation. And there wouldn't be 1/3 of the nation to be saved. So we see how things fit together. Now, then he said, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, the natural man still can't understand the parables. If somebody explains it to him, he can repeat it, but he can't find it out for himself. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. Now, he's been by the seashore in a ship, which speaks of the church age. Now he's returning to the house, and the house generally speaks of the house of Israel, when it's used in parabolic form. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So for that age, I want you to understand that in my parable about the sower is the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? The Lord Jesus Christ, God. Okay. And the field is the world. So the world, that's the entire populated world. The Son of God is going to sow the truth of the Word of God in all of the world. All right? Does that mean that everyone is going to receive it? No. We're going to have some grow, but we're going to have some failures too. And so he says, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares. Now, what is tare? What is a tare? A tare is what we call, I can't think of the name. It's bastard wheat. Everybody understands that. You go out towards Junction City during the summertime when the wheat's growing, and you'll see as they begin to head up in the grain, the wheat bows over, and then the counterfeit wheat stands straight up. You can't really tell it apart until it's starts to bear its fruit. Okay. And so that's part of the information that we're learning from this parable. So he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. In verse 37, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom or saved people, but the tares are the children of the wicked one or people who reject the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ for the lie of the devil and are eternally damned. Okay? So, the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. So, we're coming down towards the end of the age. The next event that's going to take place, as far as we're concerned, is wherever we are, if we're alive at the when this takes place, you know, I suspect, like the disciples in the upper room, even though they had seen him earlier, and they were in the upper room after his resurrection, and they had the doors locked for fear of the Jews, what happened? Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. So he just came into the room. Yeah. And the scripture says they were terrified and affrighted. Does that mean they were scared? They were really scared? No, one is an emotional experience or with the mind, and the other is a physical experience. Have you ever been scared so bad that you shake and you can't control yourself? Well, that's what they were like, you know. So they were all shook up, both mentally and physically, okay? So he says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, in verse 39, and the reapers are the angels, as therefore the tares are gathered and what? Burned in the fire. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the reason that we have people go to hell is either they're so busy, they're not interested in anything spiritual, you know, or they think they're going to miss something, or they don't believe in heaven or hell in the first place. They think that's just superstition. And we get that a lot in the colleges. I remember when Megan was with us, and she edited some of my books for me, and her children all went to college. And the experience for each one of them, practically the first day that they were there. How many of you are Christians? Well, they were raised as Roman Catholics. Megan said the worst mistake she ever made is she fell in love with the Roman Catholic and married him, and she was a believer in Jesus Christ. You know, as can two walk together except they be agreed? And of course, with a strong Catholic, the children are going to be raised Catholic, and they were. And Megan thought that she could have the influence over them, but she didn't. And then when they got into college, then the professors went to work on them. How many of you are Christians? And then from that day on, they worked on tearing down their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the world is opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. You know, the world is all wrapped up. You know, that's why we want a one world system. That's why we're going to get a one world system under the Antichrist. Yeah. It doesn't want to. You know, when we say, or when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, that was either the truth, or it was the most, Jesus was the most colossal fraud and liar the world has ever known. Well, he raised himself from the dead. You know, he didn't die from the effects of crucifixion. He was only on the cross for 6 hours. And it normally takes 24 to 36 hours to die by crucifixion. So what did he do at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? He bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. He said to the Jews while he was still alive before they crucified him, No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. So all of the anti-Semitism, much of it born or caused by the Roman Church against the Jews, you know, calling them Christ killers. And in the countries that are predominantly Roman Catholic, the Jews have suffered a lot of persecution. Yeah. And, you know, they think they're doing God's service by that. You crucified my Lord. No, I crucified him. You crucified him. It was your sins and my sins that put him on the cross. He had to die for the sins of whom? The whole world. That means yours and mine. And if we believe on him, whether we're Jew or whether we're Gentile, we're called what? The children of God. Yeah. And many Jews who think they're children of God simply because they're Jews are not children of God at all. Yeah. They're just Jews. Yeah. But he came unto his own, and what? His own received him not. So, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. We have a lot of people that mock the existence of hell. Yeah. Well, if you don't have, if all of us are eternal beings, and we are, we die physically, but our soul continues on. So anyone ever born into the world exists forever. Now, if we don't have a place to separate them from the ones who are redeemed, then what's going to happen after a little while? There's only going to be hell. Yeah, that's it. So God has to judge them, and he has to put them apart, and he puts them in a place called, you know, in Hebrew, Sheol. Yeah. Well, Sheol was divided into two compartments. In the Old Testament, the redeemed went into one compartment and the unredeemed into the other compartment. And when the rich man and Lazarus, which was during the public ministry of our Lord, so it's during the Old Testament era, when they both died, you know, and Debbie's posed the question, you know, the rich man could see Lazarus. And I don't think that there's no mention of Lazarus being able to see the rich man. So when you see people that in life you felt so superior to them being comforted in heaven, is part of this suffering going to be that the unsaved will be able to see us? But of course, we won't be able to see them. Possibility based upon that parable, we don't know for sure. So I want to read a couple more of these, and then we'll quit. All right, it says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do, what does it say?
Iniquity.
Iniquity, like we've been studying back and forth between Matthew and Hebrews, the doctrine of the sin. I wrote about it in the bulletin today. Yeah. The sin is the iniquity. Scripture says that. And definite article before both words. Okay. So the iniquity is to think that you can be like God by the lie of the devil. Yeah. So that's where all of the unsaved of the world go. That's where all of the religious of the world go. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we have to have our faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we are told as a church, and of course, we can't physically go, but we're to take the gospel where? Into all the world. You know, I already alerted Eric because I'm going to teach him about how we pay our get our the money to our missionaries each month. Yeah. And I do it at the end of the month, the last few days of the month. Some I send a wire. Some I wire from one bank to another. Others I mail checks to. Yeah. So there's several different ways to get the job done, and we do it, you know, our bank just changed names again, and they're charging us more now for wiring than they used to. When it was Pacific Continental, I think we paid $35 a month. And then, we paid $15 a month. And then when it became Columbia, then we paid $35. Now that it's become Umpqua, now we pay 50. That's just to wire money from one bank to another. Boy, that takes a lot of work. We got to get $50. All right, I'm going to read down through a couple more parables. I started late, so I'm going over because of my having water on my ears with my hearing aids. I'm just now beginning to sound like me. They finally dried out. And so the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, in verse 41, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do the iniquity, definite article there. And the sin is the iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. We'll see you, Bonnie. No, you've got to get to work. Yeah, okay. Anyway, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And what does he say to us? Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. The natural man can't hear or understand the things of the Spirit of God. Oh, he hears the words. And it's quite a mystery. We're told to preach the gospel. The natural man doesn't understand what we preach. He's spiritually dead. But we preach a message which the natural man can't understand. And God then quickens it or makes it alive to them so that they're able to believe enough to be saved. You know, so as why we were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, well, the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. So preaching the gospel seems, and that's why it's called the foolishness of preaching. It seems rather foolish to preach what people can't understand in order to get them saved. But that's God's method. And he saved me that way, he saved you that way. So it works. Okay. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. So the Lord bought the field in order to get the redeemed out of the field. The field is the world. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearl. One pearl of great price. The pearl of great price is called the church. Yeah. And this pearl, you know, I don't understand this exactly. I guess there is no difference between the jewel part of a cultured pearl and a pearl out of the ocean. The thing that makes them different and makes the natural pearl worth more is you got this oyster down there, and he gets a grain of sand in it, you know, and so he starts building a coating around it. And so there's an irritant that causes it to be formed. Well, the irritant for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And then God is what? Coating this in his perfect righteousness. Yeah. But on cultured pearls, they put an irritant in each pearl. So the irritants all look the same. And the only way you can tell the difference is by x-ray. So I don't know why anyone would pay the price other than the fact that they can brag about how much they spent for it. Rich men love to brag about how much money they spent for things. Yeah. And the restaurants in New York, they raise the price, you know, to a fantastic amount so that the rich clientele can brag about how much they spent on dinner. Doesn't make any sense, does it? But the difference between a cultured pearl and the natural pearl is, you know, the irritant. And the irritant is sin. And the Lord has to cover our sin with his righteousness. And so that's what the pearl of great price is. So, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. So the sea represents the world. The net goes in, and it's going to bring in anything that is within its scope. It's going to bring it in. So under the canopy of Christianity then, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Under the canopy of Christianity, you know, virtually all of the churches have saved people in them, you know. And all of it, and a good many of them, you know, fewer in the churches that are fundamentally sound. But it's possible to have unsaved people in our midst that think they're going to heaven just because they're going to church. And nobody goes to heaven because they go to church. It may be through the preaching of the church that we go to heaven, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But nobody goes to heaven because they look at your good life and want to be like you. That's the lie told by all of these moralists that build these fantastic organizations, very rich organizations. Yeah. And, you know, they make fantastic amounts of money. Yeah. And what I would say is what the Lord Jesus Christ would say. Behold, I say unto you, they have their reward. No. We're told to preach the gospel. We're told to preach it in all the world. We can't go into all the world. Therefore, we take a large portion of our income. You know, most churches just give 10%. We give more than 10%. I can't tell you how much, but we spend more money in this church on missions than we do on the maintenance of this church. And why not? You know, I don't need a great big salary. Anything of a sort. In fact, with my Social Security, which incidentally the government never put a dime into it, they have to put money into it now because they spent it all and never paid it back. You know? And the cost has gone from just a few cents out of a paycheck to many hundreds of dollars out of a paycheck. Yeah. You can't trust politicians. The reason why, Brother Stewart gave us the definition. Poly means many, and everybody knows that a tick is a bloodsucker. So it didn't make any difference, Republican, Democrat, whatever, you know, are some leaders better than others? Absolutely. But are any of them what they would have you think they are? And the answer is absolutely not. Yeah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the truth of the word of God. And we thank you that we have an inheritance in heaven, not because of us, but because of you, that you told us then because that you redeemed us by your grace and indwell us by your spirit. You told us to take the gospel into all the world. And while we're not physically able to go into all the world, we can take of our resources and support people around the world so that they can preach and so that souls can be saved. And that's our primary ministry. for to preach the word of God here and to see that it is preached around the world so that souls might be saved, so that, when the last soul is saved, then the Lord's going to say to us, come up hither. That is the last soul in this age, because we know that during the tribulation period and at the second coming of our Lord, the nation of Israel that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ is going to look on him whom they pierced, and they're going to recognize at that point in time as a nation that they crucified their own Lord, and they're going to believe on him and be saved. And we just praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.